Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
As one of the older Americans, I can honestly say there's never been anything like this crisis in our lifetime. Some of us are doing our part by staying isolated physically in our homes, but many of our family and friends are on the front lines working in hospitals and other essential services. I know that many of our friends who listen to this broadcast and support Ware's Valley Ranch are long-distance truckers. I want you to know that we're praying for you as you keep our stores supplied with the essential foods and other materials we need. Thank you. Please stay safe. And please, those who are able, support this ministry to children and families in crisis. If you would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. We're in chapter 14. John chapter 14. Jesus is meeting with his disciples. They've been celebrating Passover. And Jesus is speaking to them to once again prepare them for what is about to happen. Not only what's going to happen that night and the next day, but what is going to happen in the future. There's about to be a huge sea change. Tremendous shift. I'm going to start, I'll just start at the beginning of the chapter. Our focus today is going to be in verse 12 and following. But as we've said before you, we really need to see this in the larger context. So John chapter 14, this is God's word. "Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If not, I would have told you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going." "Lord," Thomas said, "we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." "Lord," said Philip, "show us the Father, and that's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been among you all this time, and you do not know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it you're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. The word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I've spoken these things to you while I remain with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. You have heard me tell you, I'm going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. I will not talk with you much longer, because the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me. On the contrary, so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do as the Father commanded me. Get up. Let's leave this place. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is a beloved chapter. People love many of the verses in this chapter. We love, as evangelicals, the fact that Jesus is very, very explicit and clear about the fact that he is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In a culture that is awash, and churches that are awash in the heresy of universalism, this passage of Scripture absolutely contradicts the popular view that somehow everybody who dies ends up in a better place. Now, of course, this is just one passage that contradicts that. But this is a favorite. It's so nice. And one of the wonderful things about this passage is Jesus' promise that he not only is going to prepare a place for us, but he's going to come again and receive us to be with him. But then there are some other verses in here that have left some people a bit perplexed. Let me give you an example. Right where we're starting, verse 12. Truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If I hand my Visa card to Reed, and I say, Reed, I would appreciate it if you would please take my car and go fill it up with gas because I have to go and preach somewhere else this evening and I haven't had time to fill it and I'm going to be in kind of a jam because I'm having to preach here. So if you would please take my Visa card and go to the gas station, fill it up for me, I'd really appreciate it. And Reed takes my card and instead of going to the gas station and filling it up and bringing it back, he goes to the gas station, fills it up, and then goes on a road trip. Okay? What he's doing at that point is taking my name in vain. Because he's not carrying out my instructions when he invokes my name. If you look at this passage, just before what we read in verse 12 and 13, and verse 14, If you look in the preceding verses, go back to verse 10. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. He says, the things that I'm doing are not my works. They're my Father's works. I'm carrying out his instructions. I am following his direction. I am doing what he commands. The words that I speak are not my own. They are the words of the one who sent me. So if you and I would pray in Jesus' name, we need to be praying in accordance with God's word. We need to be praying in accordance with his leading. And it is in that context that Jesus says that his body, the church, which is continuing to grow worldwide, despite the fact that a bunch of false brethren are falling away here in the West, God's body is doing things on a greater, broader scale than had happened at this point. What about this, greater works than these? That's what it's talking about. It's not saying something more spectacular than healing, deliverance, and raising people from the dead, and turning water to wine, and quieting storms. God says, I'm going to do something even more dazzling than that. No. Jesus did do miraculous things. Yeah, and I have seen miraculous things happen in my own lifetime. But I'll tell you this. It's not the razzle-dazzle that really matters. Do you remember the man who was paralyzed and his friends brought him and lowered him down through the roof? They brought him because they wanted to see him healed. And Jesus looked at him. Anybody could look at him and see what he needed. Or so they thought. But Jesus looked at him and he said, my son, your sins are forgiven. He's still paralyzed. But Jesus saw what he really needed and what you and I need and what people around the world need, and that is to be reconciled to God. He said, your sins are forgiven. And the religious types who were standing there began to grumble among themselves and to think in their heads, who does he think he is? How can he say, your sins are forgiven? Only God can forgive sins. Well, yeah, that's the point, Buster. Jesus was not only meeting this man's need, he was meeting the needs of those who were there to know who he is. Jesus said, why do you grumble about the fact that I said this man's sins are forgiven? He said, which is easier, to say to him, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he turns to the guy and he says, I say to you, rise, take up your bed and walk. And instantly, the man was healed. Wow, fantastic. Isn't that great? Isn't that glorious? Spectacular. I love that. But here's the thing. Which was the greater miracle? Which cost more? If you and I read this passage and we think, gee, I'd like to see a miracle. I want to submit to you. If you know Jesus, you are a miracle. If you have had your sins forgiven and now the things you used to love, you don't love like you used to. Now things that used to not interest you are now what you're all about. You want to know him. That's miraculous. That is what Jesus is talking about and what we need to be praying for in our lives, that we would be about the things that he was doing, showing compassion for those who are in need toward building their faith in God. So, if we understand that what we ask in his name is to be an expression of his word and not our fantasies, then these verses begin to make sense. And Jesus says something here that is just really hard for most of us to embrace. What he says is that we're better off by virtue of his going to be with the Father. Because when he goes to be with the Father, he's not going to leave us orphans. He will ask the Father, and the Father will send the Holy Spirit. And in that context, Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit's coming, says, I'll come to you. Well, wait a minute, I thought the Holy Spirit was coming. You remember what Jesus said about the Father? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, the same is true about the Holy Spirit. That's why he's referred to as the Holy Spirit, and he's referred to as the Spirit of Christ. So you're saying there is no Trinity? No, I'm saying that God isn't just three. He is three in one. There is one God. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We don't worship three gods. We worship one God. So Jesus is one with the Father, and that's why he doesn't just say his own words humanly. He speaks the Father's words, and he does miraculous deeds because the Father is working through him. And now you're saying he's going to come live in and through us? Yeah, look, remember Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us? Verse 17, he is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you do know him because he remains with you, Emmanuel, and will be in you. Folks, this is building towards something that happens after Jesus dies and is raised again to life. And that is Jesus is going to meet with these disciples. Same guys. He's going to meet with them. He's going to say to them, peace. Receive the Holy Spirit. Just as God took dirt and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, Jesus breathes upon the apostles and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And a new level, a new dimension of life opens up that had not happened before Jesus had died and been raised to life. John's building all through this gospel to that, because as we read in Paul's epistle, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. The devil does not want you to understand what God has in store for us. He doesn't want you to recognize that God's purpose is not just for you to keep living terribly and getting forgiven. God's purpose for his children is that he would come and live through us, his people. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are to be yielded to him so that he lives his life through you, and through you he does his will. He wants us to be so intimately connected with him that he lives his life through us. Jesus says, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and reveal myself to him. Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. The word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I've spoken these things to you while I remain with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. Is there anything troubling you today? Lay it down at the cross. God has already demonstrated such love for you that he was willing to take all the punishment you deserve for everything you've done wrong. Some of us feel like, well, I know God loves me if I do the right thing. If you love him, you'll do the right thing more and more and more. But his love was displayed for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If he loved us so much when we were lost, that he would go to the cross on our behalf? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? We don't have anything to worry about. We don't have anything to worry about. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. You've heard me tell you I'm going away and I'm coming to you. If you love me, you'd rejoice that I'm going to the Father because the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you may believe. I will not talk with you much longer, but the ruler of this world, because the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me. Now, they're about to see something that's going to make it look totally wrong, okay? They're about to see Jesus, the one whom they've trusted in as the King of Israel, the one who they've trusted in as God incarnate. They're about to see Jesus arrested, beaten, spit upon, have his beard torn out. It's going to look an awful lot like he's weak and Satan's strong. He says, he has no power over me. On the contrary, so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do as the Father commanded me. Jesus knows what's going to happen. He's told them what's going to happen. They still haven't embraced it. He's told them that he's going to be crucified. They don't accept that. What's about to happen looks like defeat. It is our salvation. Seems like the worst thing that could happen. It's the only thing that can save us. And still today, there are times when God does things that to us look like a defeat. God knows exactly what he's doing. I don't know all the details of what's happening in your life. I don't even know all the details of what's happening in my life. But I do know this. God has said, don't let your heart be troubled. I give you my peace. Trust in him. Rest in him. Do not be afraid.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.